Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hey, welcome to Pancakes and PJ's Sunday. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this again next year and fit everybody into one service. So hopefully you were here for breakfast. You got enough to eat. If you're hungry, that's not my fault because we fed you, all right? In fact, any of there's leftover pancakes and bacon, you go ask Lynn nicely. She'll feed you. She'll just make you do dishes as well. So, welcome to Faith. It's great to have you here today. We are in a bit of a gap weekend this Sunday, all right? And what I mean by that is Christmas Eve, we finished our series, Courageous Christmas. Next weekend, we're going to start a brand new series called Rethink Money on Finances. But this weekend, we're kind of in the gap. We're in between services, which usually means that as a preacher, you can talk about anything you want to. But this time of year, I feel some pressure to talk about something specific. Anybody want to guess? Jesus would be the good thing to talk about, but yeah, that's not what I feel pressure to talk about, all right? Just being honest, you know, with the whole New Year's thing, it's like, you know, you're supposed to talk about resolutions. And there's a whole plus and minus side to that. Like, on one hand, when it comes to resolutions, you feel all this pressure, and there's anybody have the preemptive guilt that comes with resolutions? Because you know you're not going to keep the thing, all right? So you already start to feel guilty about not doing that, and all the expectations people have about what resolutions you should have. And I talk to people, and this time of year, they just feel so overloaded already. They feel like the couple in this first picture here, where, you know, like mom and dad have just gone and gone and gone. They are passed out. Little Johnny is taking up drinking, all right, early, but it's 5 o'clock someplace, all right? That's just what he's telling himself. Or I talk to parents who desperately want to be good parents, and then they have scenes like this one in the grocery store, and they don't feel like they're such good parents anymore. The kids are, you know, they're just the inmates are running the asylum. Or, we edited the people, but straight out of the Davis household here. So, or I talk to folks, you know, like they're trying to keep everything in order, and there are things in their lives they get mixed up that they can't afford to get mixed up, but it's happening anyway, you know? So, it takes some of you a minute to get there. That's all right. We'll wait. We'll let you catch up, all right? So, but you talk about resolutions and people are like, I got enough pressure and I got enough guilt and I got enough, you know, expectations to be getting on with already. Thank you very much. At the same time, though, one of the things I appreciate about our culture this time of year is our culture pushes us to think a little bit differently than we're already thinking. It pushes us to consider, what is it that I should do differently? Which isn't a bad thing. Because the saying goes, if I always do what I've always done, I'm always going to get what I've always got. And if I don't like this, if I want something different than this kind of stuff, then maybe I need to think differently about what I'm going to do. But in the world that we live in today, where things are just constantly flying and moving, people are like, who's got time for that? Right? So what I want to do today is share with you just one principle about time. As I was trying to figure out what to talk about today, I came across this principle from North Point Church, and I thought, this is so good. I want to share this today. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Psalm 90. It's a psalm written by Moses. And as a psalm, it's ancient Hebrew poetry that was set to music back in that time. And as such, because it's another language, because it's poetry, it can be difficult to wrap our brains around. And so what we want to do today, we're going to take it a bite at a time and try and figure out what Moses is saying each step of the way. As Moses kind of is going to take us on a cognitive journey where he's going to land us at a place where he's going to make a singular point about time and how it works in our lives that I would contend is beneficial to every one of us sitting in this room. So let's take a minute, we'll pray, and then we'll dive into things. Father, thank you so much just for the Advent Lights campaign, just for all the different ways that we had an opportunity to love and to serve people. Thank you for the generosity that went out from our church, and God, just for all the ways that we were blessed for being part of that. Father, thank you just for good food this morning and time to enjoy one another and be together. God, thank you just for the new year that's coming. And as we think about time today, Father, I pray that you would pour your Spirit out on us, that you would speak your truth to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Moses begins, he starts off his psalm this way. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. So Moses, right out of the gate, he tells you who he's talking to. All generations. This principle on time that he's going to unpack for us, it applies whether you're somebody from the past, whether you're somebody in the present, whether you're somebody from the future. What Moses is going to talk about, it applies to anybody who finds themselves as a human being living on this planet. He's speaking to all generations. And as he begins to speak, Moses starts off by telling us a little bit about who God is. He says of God, he says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses is saying, Moses is a theist, he's a creationist, and what Moses does is he points out how before this world that we live on and oftentimes take for granted ever came into existence, that God was already there. And he says, God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, God, your existence, it stretches on back into eternity past, and it's going to stretch on forward into eternity future. Now, the idea of eternity, we've talked about this before, but we're going to go there again today because it's central, it's a key concept of what Moses is going to try and get us to think through today. The idea of eternity is a big idea. And if I think about eternity right, it should make my brain hurt a little bit. It's that kind of big idea. So, for example, let's say you've got a piece of granite. And your piece of granite is 1 mile deep and 1 mile wide and 1 mile tall. And let's say every morning you have a raven that comes and lands on your piece of granite. And depending on whether or not you like ravens, it might be a pesky bird or a beautiful animal. But it lands on your piece of granite. And every morning it sharpens its beak on your piece of granite. And then it flies off. Now, how long is it going to take for your raven, or that rat with wings, depending on whether or not you like ravens, all right? How long is it going to take your raven to whittle down your piece of granite to a nub of nothing? Just coming and landing on there and sharpening his beak every morning. A long, long time, right? Like, that's going to take forever. Sandlot, there you go. I mean, that would take on into eternity, right? No, the time it takes that raven just sharpening his beak on your piece of granite every morning to wear down your piece of granite that's 1 mile by 1 mile by 1 mile down to nothing, that's just a drop in the bucket of what eternity is. Eternity is a big concept. And as Moses begins, Moses points out that when it comes to God, that God is eternal, that he is from everlasting to everlasting, that he exists on back into eternity past, and he's going to exist on into eternity future. And then what Moses does next is he begins to contrast who God is with who we are. Moses says next, he says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. Sounds like something Gandalf would say, right? Return to dust, you mortals. You shall not pass, right? She's talking about six, I don't know. So six Lord of the Rings movies. I'm like, there's only three. And I'm like, oh, she's counting those Hobbit movies. I don't like the Hobbit movies, all right? I'm down with the first three. But what Moses is doing here is he's like, look, God is from everlasting to everlasting. People aren't. In fact, Moses' point here is that the mortality rate here on earth, it consistently hovers right around 100%. All right? Nobody's making it out alive. God's going to last forever. People have a shelf life. And the older you get, the more you realize that, right? Uh-huh. So like when I was in my early 20s, I was like, my body's going to last forever. It doesn't feel like that anymore. I don't burn calories like I used to. I don't heal like I used to. All the print is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And my wife is telling me it's because I don't see like I used to. I'm like, whatever. I just, the older I get, the more this return to dust thing becomes real to me. And so Moses starts off like, hey, he's from everlasting to everlasting. People aren't. And then Moses goes on and he says, while God is eternal and people have a shelf life, he says next of God, he says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Now, what Moses is doing next here is he's trying to help us understand how our age impacts our perspective on the passage of time. How age impacts our perspective on the passage of time. And again, when I said, you know, we don't last forever, right? The older you were, the more you went, mm-hmm. Same idea with this one. Because the older you get, the faster time seems to pass by, doesn't it? Like when I was 5 years old, it's a day after Christmas, and I thought, it's going to be another year until Christmas. That is forever away, right? In my late 40s, a year goes by like wildfire. I blink and I'm a year older, you know? Now, why is that? Why is it that the older you get, the faster time seems to pass? It's a year still a year. That doesn't change. But the older you get, the faster time seems to pass because the older you get, the smaller of a percentage of your life 1 year makes up. So when I'm 5 years old, a year is 20% of my known existence, and it seems like forever. In my late 40s, a year is 2% of my known existence, and it goes by in the blink of an eye. Now, Moses points this out to try and get us to think about how fast must our lives seem to go by from the perspective of a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. If how long you've hung around impacts your perception on the passage of time, from God's perspective, how quickly must we come and go? Which Moses says next. He says, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. He's saying, from God's perspective, our long lives, it's like grass. It comes up green in the morning. By after dinner time, it's withered up and gone. Or Moses continues to express that this idea this way. He says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. And yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Moses is going, from the perspective of a God who's from everlasting to everlasting, who's existed from eternity past, who's going to exist on into eternity future, our lives are long lives. They're barely a blip on the screen of eternity. That from the perspective of God, our lives, they come and go like that. So as Moses begins, he says, okay, God's eternal. People have a shelf life. From God's perspective, we're barely a flash on the screen. Now, why would Moses share such encouraging information with us? Again, he's taken us on a journey mentally to get us to a point that he's going to try and make, and he's almost there. So hang in there with Moses. Here's what he says next. Moses says, if only we knew the power of your anger, for your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Now, if you read that and you kind of scratch your head and you go, that's okay. Because this part of the psalm is the hardest part of the psalm to translate, and it's the hardest part of the psalm to really get your head wrapped around. So for time's sake, let me paraphrase for you what I think Moses is saying here. I would contend that Moses is saying here, if we could see God as he is, we would give him the respect that he deserves. If I could just really see God for who he is, especially in light of who I am, I couldn't help but give him the respect he deserves. Like, God brought the planet into existence. I live on it. God is from everlasting to everlasting. I get 70, 80 years, 90 if I'm lucky. God brought me into this world. He can take me out again. I did nothing to contribute to my being here. And when my time comes, there isn't a darn thing I can do about it. If I could just see God for who he really is, I couldn't help but give him the respect that he deserves. And then what Moses does next is he takes this concept of respect and time and he brings them together. He says next, God, teach us to number our days. In other words, God, help me to realize I'm not going to last forever. God, help me to see you're the one who's from everlasting to everlasting, and I'm a whole lot more like grass. And Moses, he asks God to teach him that. And Moses encourages us to ask God to teach us that. Because our natural inclination isn't to approach life from the perspective that our days are numbered. Our natural inclination is to forget that. And to live as though we will always have more time. We don't necessarily say it out loud. We don't necessarily articulate it in our minds. But our inclination is to live as though I'm always going to have more time to get to that thing that's important. I'm always going to have more time to get to that thing that I know that I should do. I'm always going to have more time to get to that thing that I let other things that are more urgent crowd out of my calendar and life. It's so easy to live as though I'm always going to have more time to invest in my marriage. I'm always going to have more time to spend with my kids. I'm always going to have more time to dig into my spirituality. I'm always going to have more time to be with my friends. I'm always going to have more time to chase after that dream. And what Moses is trying to do here is grab us by the collar and give us a good shake and say, no, no, no. God is eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's got all the time in the world. But people, they have a shelf life. They don't have all the time in the world. So pray that God will teach you to number your days. Because Moses understands that when we wrap our brains around the fact that we don't have all the time in the world, that'll impact how we spend the time that we actually do have. And so Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because there's a wisdom that comes with realizing I've got a shelf life. When I live as though I've got all the time in the world, when I fail to number my days, I inevitably will spend the time that I have on things that when I come to the end, I'm going to regret. But when I realize God is from everlasting to everlasting, I am not. When I take the time to number my days and realize I'm not going to last forever, there's a wisdom that enters into my life. And it helps me to make decisions about how I'm going to spend the limited time that I have in a way that I'm going to feel good about when I get to the end. And so if I could wrap everything that Moses has been saying up here into one statement, it'd simply be this. Remembering that our time is limited provides us with the wisdom to know how to spend our limited time. When I remember my time is limited, it provides me with the wisdom to know how to spend my limited time. Now, here's what I want to do next. I want to share with you some, what I would contend is wisdom, that comes from the perspective of individuals who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their time is limited. Bonnie Ware was a nurse in Australia, a hospice nurse. And so every day when Bonnie went to work, she went to work with people who were terminally ill, folks who had 12 weeks to live, people who knew beyond a shadow of a doubt their days are numbered. And Bonnie had enough sense to ask these folks about life and to try and learn from them because, they knew, I've got limited time. And she anticipated there could be some wisdom that these folks have as they live with a unique perspective. Now, one of the questions that Bonnie asked these folks on a regular basis was, do you have any regrets in life? And she noticed that as she asked that question, that a pattern emerged. And so what I want to do with you, I want to share with you the top two answers that Bonnie received to that question, and then some of the commentary that Bonnie gives about it. So, second most common answer that Bonnie received to the question of, hey, do you have any regrets? Now that you know, you're beyond a doubt, your days are numbered. Do you have any regrets? Second most common answer that Bonnie received was this. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This came from every male patient I nursed. They miss their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret, but most were from an older generation. Many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. All of the men that I nursed deeply regretted spending so much time of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. Second most common response that she received, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. First most common response she received was this, I wish I'd had the courage to live my life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people have not honored even half of their dreams, and they have to die knowing that it was due to their choices, due to the choices they had made or had not made. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. Now, can you feel some of the weight, some of the wisdom? I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. These are people who learned to number their days because life didn't give them a choice. But there was wisdom that came from that. So here's what I want to do as we wrap up. I want to ask you, life and your schedule. I'm going to pick up this handheld, Steve.
Don, there we go. What is your life and your schedule going to be full of in this upcoming year? Because it's going to get filled with something. What is your life and your schedule going to be full of this coming year? And please don't misunderstand me. Like, I get that life is busy. I get that there are demands on our time. I get that a schedule can be full. Believe me, I get that. But in light of the fact that God is from everlasting to everlasting and we are not, What are our lives and our schedules going to be full of this year? And if they've got to be full of something, just doesn't it make sense to fill them with things that when we come to the end of our days, we're not going to regret having spent our lives on that. And instead to fill our lives with things that come from the wisdom of an individual who's learned to number their days. If my life and schedule is going to be full of something, wouldn't it make sense to fill it up with something I'm going to feel good about spending my life on when I get to the end? What are we going to fill our lives and our schedules with this coming year? So I want to give you some homework. Inside of your bulletin, there's an insert for taking notes. On the back of that insert, there are four questions. And what I want to encourage you to do as homework this week is take that with you and then wrestle with these four questions this week. Four simple questions. Number one, what do I need to add to my schedule? What is something in my life that I keep going, I'm going to get around to this, I'm going to get around to this, I'm going to get around to this. I know it's important. I know it matters. I know I'll be glad I spent my life on it. But for whatever reason, it isn't part of my schedule right now. What's not on my schedule that I need to add to my schedule this year? Question number two, what do I need to subtract from my schedule? What is getting my time right now that I just, if I'm perfectly honest with myself, I know I have no business spending my time on this thing at all. What do I just need to take out of there altogether? What do I need more of in my schedule? What's something, it's in there now, but I need more of this than I have already. Maybe that's time with family. Maybe that is spirituality. Maybe that is serving. What do I need more of? And then question number four, what do I need less of in my schedule? What's in my schedule now? And it's not wrong that it's there, and I'm okay with spending some of my life on it, but I spend way too much time in front of a screen than I want to spend, and I need to spend less than I am currently. And what I want to encourage you to do, spend some time this week thinking about these four questions. Write the answers down. And then if you're really brave, share your answers with somebody. Somebody worthy of your trust. And then give them permission to ask you throughout the year how you're doing at your four questions. Because the new year's coming. The new year's coming. And we're gonna fill our lives and our calendars with something, and we're going to spend our lives for that year. The question is, are we going to spend them in such a way that reflects wisdom? Are we going to spend them in a way that we're going to feel good about when our days come to an end? Would you stand with me, church? As we continue this morning, we're going to receive our offering and close in a couple final songs. And so as the worship team makes their way back up on the stage, we just want to take a minute and pray and just respond to God. And so this morning, as we went through those questions, if you know right now, I know the answer to one of these right now, and I need to commit myself to doing this. Just as we pray, we just want to create some space where we can respond to God and what He might be doing in our hearts. And then we will wrap things up this morning with our offering and worship together. Father, thank you for Moses. Father, thank you just for the way He pushes us to think about how time works. Father, help us just to see so clearly you're going to last forever, but our time on this earth is limited. It's a gift from you, but we've only got so much of it. God, help us, please, just to spend it in a way that we're going to feel good about when we get to the end. As we've had this conversation and just we see what it is we need to add or what it is we need to subtract, what it is we need more of, what it is we need less of. We just call that out to you, God. We ask that you would meet us in this. We ask that you'd help us to live in light of the wisdom you've provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.